Well, I've been put into a position that I wasn't expecting tonight, so y'all have to just bear with me. I do the best I can. But the first thing, let's get the offering out of the way. Brother Dennis, if you would come and receive the offering for tonight. Tonight, when Brother Mack mentioned it, that he would like for me to say something tonight, immediately the 58th chapter of Isaiah comes to mind. And I think if you all have been here in the Sunday school in the last little while, one thing that has really been impressed upon me is how much our time is like what's in the Word of God. The people have really not changed today, people. We think that we are so intelligent and we have got all of these things, you know, that we are so much superior to those people. We're doing the same thing if you'll read it in the Scriptures. And you know, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul said that the Old Testament was given for our warning and for our example. And so we need to pay attention to what God has to say. And so here in the 58th chapter, I think this mirrors today as much as about anything that you'll find in the Bible. So first of all, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin this. Our Father and our God, again today, God, we give you thanks, God, for this day, for all of the many, many blessings, God, that you have given each and every one of us. And tonight, God, we have come to break the bread of life. God, I'm asking for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God, to come and be upon us tonight. God, that we will learn from your word. And, Father, that we will do what thus saith the word of God, Father, for the kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 58, beginning at verse 1, God's telling Isaiah here, he said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." Now, you're going to see, as we go on down a few more verses here, these people were just exactly like a lot of the church today. They thought they were righteous people. They were doing the very religious things, you know. And so that's what a lot of the church world today do. We're doing what we know to do, but we're not doing what God says we should do. Verse 2 said, "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God." You know, That's what a lot of people in the church today does. They take delight. I'm afraid a lot of our church today, people, has become nothing but entertainment. It's not true worship to God. You know, how many people have you heard say, "I'm going to church, get me a blessing"? Hey, we're not come here to get something. We're come here to give our worship and our praise to God. In Isaiah 29, at verse 13, it says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men." Is that not like a lot of things that we're doing today? Are we not going with men's ordinances and men's ways? You know? Every denomination we have, they can read the same verse, and everybody's got a different opinion of what it means. People, it only means one way, and that's God's way. You know, and People say, well, why are we not blessed? I'm telling you, this is what Isaiah 58 is telling us. If you want to be blessed, God's telling you to get back and do it my way. Follow me. Verse 3 said, they said, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Now, here it says, we have afflicted our souls. That means they were saying, well, God, we have humbled before you, you know, but they had just did it in show. You know, I mean, the Bible tells us that God looks upon our hearts, people. It's not the outward show. We all know people, and we've heard of it. You know, a lot of ministers in the past that we have heard about, I mean, they would get up and they could preach some of the most eloquent messages ever was, but go out and commit all kinds of immorality. You know, it was just show. You know, and here he said, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasures and exact all your labors. In other words, what I believe he's saying here is, you are defrauding the ones that are working for you. They were cheating their own labors. And this is one thing that you'll find in the scriptures. God's a people person. You do not touch his anointed. And people think, well, that's just the pastor. No, every one of you is anointed if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know. He said, behold, you fast for strife and debate and smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice heard on high. Ooh. How many people do you know? They're continually in strife. They're all time got some kind of controversy going on in their life and between people, you know. And then they expect God to bless them whenever they need something. Listen, the Holy Ghost will not be where there's strife. There's got to be peace where the Holy Ghost reigns, people. You know. But and he said, even here he said, you smite with a fist of wickedness. In other words, they were even up to the point ready to go to blows. I mean, we've heard of this before, that people wanting to fight in church and this and that and the other. I mean, that's an abomination before God. I mean, this is a place of peace. This is a place of holiness. And we should act that way, when you know. And I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the church world in general. You know, and this is what's happened. We say, well, why are people not coming to church? A lot of the people will tell you that don't come to church, well, I don't do what those church people do. We got to live the life of holiness before this nation if we're expecting to win them over to Jesus Christ. It said, verse 4, 5, it said, is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this fast an acceptable day unto the Lord? Now, what I know I've heard a lot of messages on chapter 58 of Isaiah, and they've all said, well, this is the fasting chapter. Well, what this chapter is actually saying here, the fast that you're supposed to be is the way you treat your fellow man. You know, you can go through all the religious ceremonies that you want to. If your heart is not right with God, it means nothing. That is the core of Isaiah 58. Verse 6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Now he's asking them a question right here. You know the oak back in the yoke back in those days, they had the oxen. I think we all know what the yoke was. The yoke was what went over the neck of the oxen so he could pull the plow. You know, in other words, when that oxen was in that yoke, that oxen was actually in bondage. And that's what he's talking about here. We've got to take this bondage that we're putting on people. See, that's what's happening in a lot of the religious world today. There's a lot of the church world today, every denomination's got some rules and regulations that they're putting people under bondage with. And we need to be set free from all that stuff and get back to just pure worshiping God, you know. Verse 7 said, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Now here's what he's saying God's fast is. It's not just, you know, the word fast actually means, in the Hebrew, means to cover the mouth. That's what the word fast really means, you know, to do without food. But this, he said, you're now the fast I'm wanting you to do, he says, is to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house when thou seest the naked, that thou shalt cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. You know, one thing, this word cover your own flesh, in other words, he said that could mean that you cover your own faults. You know, the worst deception that you'll ever be in is self-deception. You're deceiving yourself. You think I'm all right, but yet that's what they were thinking right here. We're in good shape. We're in good standing with God. But God says, no, you're not good standing with me, because you have oppressed your workers. You have oppressed the poor, you know. But he said, if you'll go ahead and you'll deal to the poor, the hungry, the naked, and all that, you know. He said, that's what I'm expecting you to do. Verse 8 said, but now listen what a precious promise verse 8 is. Let me finish up 7 right here. He said, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Another thing that you could say there too, you know, I believe it's 1 Timothy 5:8, you know, he said if somebody didn't provide for their own house, they was worse than an infidel, you know. That could be another meaning of that word too. So that's the thing about a lot of this in the Bible, is a lot of this has a dual or maybe even a triple meaning. You know, it said, but now listen to this precious promise in verse 8. He said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear guard. So many people right there pronounce that word rear guard, but it says rear ward. The word rear ward means to gather together. You see, that's what he's basically saying up here. People are not going to come together if you're not treating them right. If you're oppressing them and all of these other things, they're not going to come to you. But he said, thy light, you know, Jesus said that we're the light of the world, didn't he? See, whenever you start treating people right, your light will spring forth like God intended for it to do. But, you know, as long as we're mistreating other people, I've told you this many times, and you all know this, something bad can happen in this church, and it'll be all over the county before dark, you know. But you can have 100 people saved at this altar and probably nobody will ever say anything about it. But that's human nature, you know. But when you start treating people right and somebody say, well, let's say somebody that's naked or they're hungry or something, and they say, well, where did you get that? They said, the House of God Worship Center. Hey, they say, well, I better go up there and see what's going on, you know. So this is a very important chapter, I think. But he said, your health shall spring forth speedily. You know, You know, we've talked about this many times. I have never seen a time there's as much sickness as there is today. Everywhere you look, there's sickness. This is one way of being healed, according to the Scriptures. It's the way we treat our brothers and our sisters. Because, especially when you go into Micah 6, verses 9 through 13, there he speaks about defrauding people, how you having the false balances and the false weights and all of this, that, and the other, and doing, defrauding them in business. And God said in there, he said, if you're going to do that, he said, I'll make you sick and I won't even have nothing to do with you. Now, you got to do a little study to get that out of it, but that's what it means. I mean, we can't act like the world and expect the blessings of God, and neither could Israel. Verse 9 said, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. And he said, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, that's bondage, the putting forth of the finger of accusation, you know how we do that. He said, putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. The word vanity is falsehood. I think each and every one of you would agree here tonight. I've never seen a time in my lifetime that's as many liars as there is today. These people had rather tell you a lie as tell you the truth, and I don't know why. I reckon that, of course, the devil is a liar. And he's the father of lies. The Bible tells us that. So when somebody's a lying continually, and they tell you they're a Christian, there's a self-deceived person. In Psalms 24 and 4, let me go there just a minute. You have to kind of bear with me just a little bit. Psalms 24, I'm going to start with verse 3, verses 3 through 5. He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. I don't see how you could get it any plainer than what that says right there. You've got to have clean hands and a clean heart if you're going to receive the things of God. I mean, that. Verse 10 said, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Now, this word obscurity, it also means darkness or falsehood. You know, he said, it'll rise out of this falsehood. He said, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. It will rise up out of that. Verse 11 says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now, we know what a drought is. A drought is a dry place. And that, I hate to say this, but that's where a lot of the church is today. We're in a drought. Yeah. So I believe if we will follow the guidelines laid down here in Isaiah 58, he says we'll come out of that. And then he said he would make fat your bones. Your bones, it represents strength. You know, you'll be a strong person. And then he goes on to say, whose waters fail not. In other words, that means the word fail there means to lie not. Basically, what that means. Now, along down in verse 12, it says, and they that shall be of thee shall build up the old waste places.
Mm.
Don't we as a church, don't we like to talk about back when? Yeah. Those great services we had back when. Well, he's the same God then as he is today.
Amen.
You know? So then if we do according to what he has said here, he says that we would build up the old waste places, and thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. You know, there again, we like to talk about our forefathers and what they did and what a great services and all that they had. You know, God's not going, he's no respecter of persons. If he did it for Grandpa, he'll do it for us. See, this is the thing people don't want to realize today. These promises are conditional. See, God's already ready to do it. He's just waiting on us. You know. He said, raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the place to dwell in. You know. A restorer means to turn back. We like to think, people like to restore old cars, trucks, tractors, you name it, you know. In other words, if you restore that vehicle, you make it like it was when it was brand new, you know. So that's what he's saying, that we would, if you'll do this, then we will restore back what God did back in times past, you know. The great revivals that we hear about, like the one in California, there's one, I think, in Kentucky and all. People, those days are not past if we want them. It can happen again. But there has got to be some desire in us. You know, this morning, if you were here this morning, I read from Perry Stone's book, he said, one of the things that Satan is doing, he's taking the fight out of the fighters. You see, we got to get that fight back. We got to get that want to.
Amen.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that today, they want things, but they don't want to put the work out. You know, somebody say, well, somebody's has got a nice home, car, whatever. People say, boy, I'd sure like to have that. Well, are they willing to do what that person did to get it? You know, somebody got a strong church. Are we willing to do what they did to get it? You know? So, I mean, God left it. The saying is, the ball is in our court. We need to step up to the plate. And I'm going to tell you, I'm number one. I need to come up a notch or two, you know. And when that happens, God will do it again. You know, there's a song, God, you know, my God will do it again. And he will. Because he's already said, it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I'm telling you out here today, there's a lot of people going to and fro up and down this street even that need repentance. And I would love to see the day that the Holy Ghost, drawing power of the Holy Ghost is so strong in this body right here that people would stop their cars in the middle of the street to come in. You know, and it can happen. It can happen, you know. We talk about, well, God's going to. Well, I'm tired of God's going to. I want to say God is. You know. You know. So, like I say, it's left up to us tonight. So, let's all step up one more notch, you know, because the further we go up the ladder, the more blessings of God's going to pour out upon us. And I'm telling you, you know, we talk about stepping up the ladder. People, there is no blessings backing down the ladder. Anytime you go backwards, you're not going to get a blessing from God. It's always going up. I've always heard this saying, your spiritual vehicle does not have a rearview mirror. You don't look back. I've heard so many churches talk about how it used to be. You know, I'm wanting to say how it is. You know, It's positive. God is a positive God. Well, I hope I've said something that might help you a little tonight. Like I said, I was not expecting to do this, but I mean, it's just, that's a spur of the moment thing. But God said to be instant in season and out of season, you know. Does anybody need special prayer tonight? Anybody? Brother Carl, you want to take over?
Tell you what, we never know what's going to happen. This morning, Brother Bill had no idea, or Sister Becky had no idea that Billy was going to have a wreck this afternoon. If so, we would have went out there and we would have stopped him from going. But there is a thing that we can do in our lives what's going to affect our future. The one thing that we have in control of, which God gave us, the decision to serve God. And that is one thing that we can do for our future. We know that if we serve God and believe, you know, the Bible teaches us to try spirits that comes against us. And there are false spirits out there. There's false doctrines. One that's came into the world today, you know, it's Islam thing. And I fear that it's going to come to a time that's going to try to become a world religion. I'm going to say that is Satan. And I fear not to say that is Satan. But there's one thing. If we know that he confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, and confesses that he came in the flesh, then we know that spirit's of God. Because any other will deny that and be against him. But there's one thing else we have assurance of. Greater is the spirit that God give us than any spirit that's in this world. So I fear not Satan, because I have the spirit of God that's in me, that I can face that. If not anybody needs any prayer, let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll dismiss. Be back Sunday, a Thursday night. Carlos, was you wanting to? Oh, sister?
Yeah, I would want to say something. I heard the other day, we seldom ever get in Daystar on TV. But I heard John Paul Jackson on the other day, and he was telling how important it is that all of us as Christians should get up first thing in the morning. When we get up, we should put on the whole armor of God.
Amen. You know, you know, I can testify myself of when I was a young boy at walking out in front of a car, and the Spirit of God moved me probably 30 or 40 foot down the road. All I could see is the hood of the car, and I had my hands out like that. So, I never doubt the power of God. And if you reading through the Bible, you'll see where he stopped the world and made it time to stop and go back. And all, that's the same God that we have today. He has never changed. Praise God. Praise him. Hallelujah. Everybody will try to remember Thursday nights. Brother Bill has announced how he's going to have some services out here and some in the back. I've been gone down working, and I couldn't come on Thursday nights. I tried to always go somewhere during the middle of the week to serve God, but I never forget to serve God every day in my own heart. And that's something that will God, praise God, hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and the praise for all the good things in our lives, Lord. We pray that you would go with us and guide us, Lord, and teach us and lead us, O Lord God, in thy will. Let us, O Lord God, be exalted in this, O Lord God, through you, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Everybody shake hands, and we'll see you in the next.